This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. It's a Monday. Let's do an episode of The Week in Iceland. My guest today is Oddur Þórðarson, my colleague here at RÚV. It's been a while since you sat in this
chair. Months.
You now sit in a different chair, of course, sometimes, reading the news to the nation since we last spoke. How's that going?
Very good, I think. Or so I'm told. I haven't had anything major come up, which is like... anyone can be a newsreader, I think, an anchor, because you're just reading text off the prompter. But still, when something happens, something goes wrong, how do you react to that? So.
I think it's harder than you are generously making out,
to do that. Probably, I might, but yeah, it's going well.
Yeah. Have you had any breaking news yet? Has anything erupted, literally perhaps, during your time on it?
The Zelensky-Donald Trump row in the White House. That happened like 20 minutes before going on air.
Because, of course, Frettir here at RÚV, the TV program, covers international news as well.
Yes.
So anything that happens anywhere in the world on scale, you could have to talk about.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, that was quite major. That's probably the only huge big thing that's happened.
Well, let's see what's happened here in Iceland over the last week. And there is something of a, here's an Icelandic word, something of a saga going on with the EU. Again, this is news breaking today, again postponing a decision on an exemption from safeguard taxes on silicon metal. It's a bit complicated for Iceland and Norway. This has been postponed twice already. The European Commission postponing making a final decision on whether Iceland and Norway will be exempted from the EU's safeguard duties on silicon metal. So, first of all, Iceland and Norway, for that matter, both in the EEA, but not the EU.
Yes.
And this is a big part of their argument as to why they should be exempted from these silicon duties, because although Iceland's not in the EU, it's very closely allied to it.
And the Commission thinks that some of the member states have been hurt by... Icelandic and Norwegian exports of silicon, so they want to safeguard their member states with the cost of Iceland and Norway, which are not member states, but still in the EEA, as you say, we would get severely hurt by this.
The expectation now from our colleague, our correspondent in Brussels, Björn Malmqvist, is that this decision is going to be postponed until at least tomorrow. There'll be another meeting taking place tomorrow. The Norwegian TV outlet TV2 says the decision will be made on Thursday. Now, Björn in his reporting suggests that the very fact that this has now been postponed twice is maybe good news for Iceland.
And he's very much in the EU bubble. He knows all of the reporters that have been reporting there for decades. And... So whatever he says in his report is probably based on some serious intel, I think.
Icelandic and Norwegian politicians making efforts to convince other member states, because that's ultimately what this comes down to, you persuade the countries one by one that the two countries are part of the single market and therefore they shouldn't be treated like China or India. Björn also saying there's evidence that the Swedish government is lobbying on behalf of Iceland and Norway. So this might yet go Iceland's way.
Yes,
Norway's
yes, it's mine, yeah. We'll see tomorrow, unless it gets postponed again.
Postponed again.
Which would be very much an EU thing, I think.
Yes.
So.
But what's interesting is that this is a final decision that's being postponed, because the preliminary decision, which was that Iceland and Norway would not be exempted, that was published, that was going to be the reality until the final decision was going to be taken. But that was kind of seen as a formality even a few days ago. Now that's been postponed twice. And again, as we say, that points to possible good news for Iceland and Norway. Yeah.
Very much a saga, as you said.
Very much a saga, for sure.
I think this could be... this has a lot of domestic interest in Iceland, because the current coalition government has said that before the year 2027, we will have a referendum on whether to keep on trying to join the EU or not. Mm. Obviously, there was a government after the big financial crash of 2008 that applied. The following government then took back the application. And now we're seeing, do we want to keep on applying?
Yes.
So this is probably the first cornerstone of many to come to see, is the EU good for us? Is it working on our behalf, or should we stay out. So this will be a major flashpoint, I think, for people advocating to join or not.
Do we think the EU wants Iceland to join?
Probably yes. I think so, yeah.
Would that be part then of this? Is somebody somewhere saying to them, if you want Iceland to be a country that looks more favourably on the EU, then you might want to sort this issue out?
Yes, probably. Probably. That should and could be one of the talking points. But then the EU has to say which is more expensive for us to keep hurting our member states that produce silicon, or should we allow Iceland to join? I don't know if this is a major talking point, but still, it could be. Yes. One could imagine that.
So that's a story to watch in the next couple of days. We think the earliest we'll hear anything is tomorrow, Tuesday, but as we have heard, it's being reported in Norway that a final decision,
yes,
pinky promise,
yes,
will be made by Thursday. And I know everyone here in Iceland is hoping that it goes Iceland's way. Let's turn to a story which has been extremely popular on Roof English, not just here in Iceland, but I think all around the world. This is the story that dog and cat ownership in multi-unit housing is no longer subject to the approval of other owners. And that has been the case for a long time. Essentially, yes, somebody in a block of flats could veto someone else's decision to have a dog or a cat. And I know that, as I say, particularly outside of Iceland, that will seem very strange to lots, yes, of people.
How is this in the UK, for instance?
There is no restriction. I think if a dog is causing or a cat is causing particular problems, that's dealt with as a specific nuisance,
right,
issue.
Okay.
But there is no, I mean, certainly when we lived in Edinburgh, there were, I think, two or three other dogs living in the block of six flats, and nobody was consulted or needed to be consulted about, right, them.
This has been a hot button issue. Mm. I think the unanimous consensus that has to be reached within a homeowners association within multiple unit housing is rather informal. Live in a block of flats with eight different flats. One of my neighbors bought a dog a few weeks back, and he's absolutely adorable. Mm. And he just knocked on the door and said, "Are you fine with
the
me?"
The dog.
The owner. The dog knocking on the door would have been pleasant as well, though. But the owner knocked on my door and said, "Are you fine with me buying a dog? Is that okay?"
Yes.
He's going to be here in a few weeks. Absolutely fine. So it's not a formal vote that happens, I think, in most cases. It's just, "Are you fine with this?" Okay, sure. And I think probably many people can just buy a dog, bring it home, and not ask anyone. But if there's a problem, surely someone will protest, but yeah.
Mm. One MP, this is Ingvar Thoradsen, who's an MP for Vidresen, which is the Reform Party. He didn't vote yes or no, he voted meow.
Oh, yeah.
So he's a cat person, we can assume.
Yes, that's very true. But people have been there's been heated debate about this, because obviously people that love their pets think, okay, yes, now I can move anywhere I want without having the problem of, will I be accepted with my cat or dog? But people that have, say, allergies are fuming, obviously, because now how can I live in the safety of my own home, which I've owned for, I don't know, 25 years? Maybe I have a new neighbor that has eight cats and I'm allergic to cats. Mm. So it can cause quite a big problem for people.
Yes. And it's always struck me as interesting that Iceland is not a dog country, because it's ideal for dogs, isn't
yes.
it? All the space and the water and all the rest of it. When you see a dog running around in Iceland, they're having the time of their lives. Mm. But of course, here in the capital, dogs were actually outlawed until
yes.
relatively recently.
Yes, they were.
So,
I don't know why, but it was a very old law that was then outlawed. I don't remember why it was.
And we get into the Christmas period. Of course, the Christmas cat was lit in Reykjavik yesterday. Cats are always much more popular than dogs, it seems, in Iceland.
Yes.
I don't know why that is either.
Especially in the capital, I think.
Yes.
Especially in the capital.
In my former life, when I was on a radio station called LBC in the UK, where we'd do phone-ins 24 hours a day, people would call in with their answers to whichever sort of news questions we set. I said we should set up a spin-off station called LBC Cats or Dogs, and we would just ask that question 24 hours a day, and I guarantee it would be the most popular radio station in Britain.
Yeah.
Are you a cat person or a dog person? Well, Iceland seems to be a cat country more than a dog country.
Yeah, in many cases. Like I say, especially in the capital.
The bill was submitted by Inga Sæland, who's the Minister for Social Affairs and Housing. She's had a good week, actually, because she also was behind the bill which brought into Icelandic law the UN Convention on the Treatment of People with Disabilities.
Yes.
So two big wins there for her in Parliament. And I don't know what you think, but I get the impression that of the three coalition parties, she is leading one that has not been the most popular in recent weeks. The other two have done better, it seems, in terms of their relations with the public.
Yes. Her party, Flokkur Fólksins, the People's Party, is very much kind of anti-establishment. So you have people that are not part of the establishment running for the party and now hold seats of government, which have not represented what we come to expect of politicians, especially career politicians. They've said things in speeches, they've said things in interviews that are maybe not what we are used to hearing from politicians, and that maybe has not fared well with voters so far, especially in contrast to the other two parties, which have career politicians in a lot of their seats.
Yes.
So it's been a rough start for Flokkur Fólksins, but the past week was a good one.
Yeah, a couple of big wins for sure.
And Inga Sæland obviously has... she is, another word, she's legally blind, I think, and has struggled with that all her life. If I remember correctly, her husband has some disabilities. So this is very much a personal win for her as well.
Yes.
And it's been something that the party has been campaigning for since its origin. Probably 10 years ago.
I think whatever your views on her or her party or on politics generally, it was quite a heartwarming sight to see her in tears of joy.
Yes.
It carries a lot of weight because it will mean that disabled people in Iceland now have to be treated better in a whole variety of areas than they were previously.
Yes. That's very true.
Regardless of the cost. Okay. Yesterday, Sunday, was the international, not the international day, but the national day.
Yes, yes.
Not the international day of Icelandic, yeah, but it was the national day of the Icelandic language, wasn't it, yesterday?
Yes. Congratulations, Aaron.
Thank you.
People say that on the national language.
Til hamingju.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
A day of celebration in Iceland.
Til hamingju með daginn, perhaps.
And the language is in an interesting place, isn't it, the Icelandic language? There are fears that it is being replaced not just by English, but by other languages, but... Mm-hmm. Seems to me, and I'm very happy to say this, I hear Icelandic all the time being spoken.
Yeah, yeah. It's a contentious issue and it's a hot-button issue. And it's a slippery slope. When talking about the language in Iceland, it's a slippery slope towards discussions about immigration and about foreigners coming into the country. And it's a whole big topic. But it's certainly true that just this week we saw the former Prime Minister, Katrín Jakobsdóttir, say that the Icelandic language could die out within a generation. So people are really not saying just within a couple of hundred years. This could happen within a lifetime. Technology probably plays a lot into this debate. Technology is more and more presented to us not in Icelandic.
Mm-hmm.
Things are being done. I mean, you can use ChatGPT, for instance, in Icelandic.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Disney Plus, some of the streaming services, and get cartoons in Icelandic so that your kids can watch in Icelandic. But still, my personal opinion is that young people today, they don't care about the conservation of Icelandic.
Mm-hmm.
Because Icelandic is a language that doesn't need to be conserved, right? English... You wouldn't say that about English.
No, I think, not at all.
Yeah. So when you raise a generation of people that, you know, aren't concerned with conserving the language actively, you run the risk of it dying out.
Mm-hmm.
So they may speak Icelandic, but they don't care about it, really.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, that's a question for schools then, isn't it? I mean, if it's young Icelanders who don't care about the language and are choosing not to use it, then that's a particular problem. Again, it seems to me that lots of people who come to this country really are keen to learn the language.
Yeah.
English as a second language at the university, I think, is the single most popular educational course that you can do in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Here on Roof English Radio, we try to do what we can. We've got a weekly show called Oethskjulit, which is the news in a simple form of Icelandic. Best part of 100 episodes up there now for you to find. And of course, it's never been easier to use technology to learn not just Icelandic, but any other language.
When you talk to your parents or your grandparents, it's been very much a part just of the social fabric for decades and centuries to love the language.
Mm.
Not just speak the language, but conserving it. This is changing, I think. So young people today, if you raise a generation of people that don't care about the language, they may speak it, but they won't care that their offspring don't speak it.
Yes. One-fifth of Icelanders never reads a book, according to a new survey. This is from the Icelandic Literature Centre, Miðstöð Íslenskra Bókmennta. They commissioned the survey in collaboration with a whole variety of different organizations, the City Library, the Association of Icelandic Book Publishers, Reykjavik UNESCO City of Literature, to name but however many that was, three, I think. Icelanders spend 59 minutes a day reading or listening to books, and that's down from 69 minutes 2 years ago. Still quite a lot, we were saying before we started this.
Yes, I was fairly shocked when you told me, because I thought it'd probably be half of people read, or even less.
Yeah.
So, what did you say, 80% of people still read?
80% still read, and also interestingly, there's as much measured reading in Icelandic as there was previously.
Oh.
So we've got, well, there's two interesting stats, actually. We still read 2.3 books every month, which is as much as ever.
Mm.
So the people who are still reading are reading more.
Mm.
And as much of that is happening in Icelandic as previously. So it's not as if we are, in terms of consumption of literature or whatever, people are not drifting to other languages there.
Yeah, that's interesting. Personal story, I've only ever once been in a book club. With myself, my girlfriend, and her friend and her boyfriend. And we each took turns in selecting books. And they always selected books. They're both Icelandic speakers, but they selected books in English that have been translated to Icelandic, but chose to read them in English. Which is, I think, because it was a New York Times bestseller in both cases, I think. Books that have been popular on TikTok and on social media.
Mm.
And not necessarily in the Icelandic discourse, but in sort of international discourse, famous books. And they chose to read them in English.
So, why?
I don't know.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, one of them said it was more comfortable to read in English than in Icelandic. She felt more confident with the text. And this is a person that's gone through university and works for the government. And
interesting.
It is.
That's very interesting. I mean, because you're right, because the big blockbuster novels, at the very least, are all translated into Icelandic.
Yes.
And you tend to see this more in supermarkets. If you go to Hakkaup, for example, and you see their selection of books, those are not entirely, but there's a big chunk of international novels that have been translated into Icelandic.
Indeed.
I gave my partner for our anniversary a couple of years ago, we always give each other a book, and he's learning Icelandic at the university, in fact. And I gave him a copy of 1984, written or translated into Icelandic. It's a book he knows very well, and I thought it might be useful if he, you know, looks at a text that is already familiar to him, but in Icelandic. It might be a useful way to pick up some words.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because if you know what's already going on, then you're not struggling with the nuances of the concept, I guess, are you, quite so much?
That's true.
Okay, that is language. Let's turn to the face of the clock. A sleep specialist says she's hopeful that the Icelandic government might act to move the clocks back by 1 hour. Now, the reason that this has come up again, well, a reason that it's come up at all, I suppose, is if you look at a map of the world, look at the time zones and where Iceland sits, we are sufficiently far west to suggest that we should be at UTC-1, in other words, an hour back from where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you look at Greenwich Mean Time, you see a straight line going up the map from Antarctica. When it gets all the way north to Iceland, you have this pocket going westwards to cover Iceland.
To keep us on GMT.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense at all. But still, I'm a bit biased in this debate. Because I play golf, and I want to be able to keep playing golf after I've finished work.
But of course, that doesn't matter in the summer because it's so bright anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But in the springtime and in autumn, it does make a difference.
Yeah, again, I was saying to you earlier on, and people are always surprised when I say this, but I love the dark mornings. I don't want that to change. I love the fact that at the height of winter, the sun doesn't come up till 11:15 in the morning.
That surprises me. I would have thought that coming from the UK, where it's not that dark in the morning, Depends. Still a bit dark.
Depends where you are. Yeah, I mean, I think the darkest we would get would be about, you know, sunrise at 8:40, 8:50, yeah, maybe, right, in the height, yeah, of winter. It's more like 11:15, 11:20 here in, yes, Reykjavik, and darker, yes, even if you go to the north of the country.
Mm-hmm. I would have thought this was something that you hated about moving to Iceland.
No. No, what I hate is the bright summers. I can't bear it. I can't, yeah, stand it.
People actually travel to Iceland to experience the bright summers, but not you.
Well, we flew to Cape Town this year.
Really?
Where it was winter for our, wow, summer holiday. And that, wow, wasn't an accident. Odda, thanks very much. We won't leave it so long next time. Odda Thordarson going through some of the stories of the week in Iceland here on Roof English Radio. My name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. We're english@ruv.is.
There is more from Roof English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.